Fairbanks Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Hello, Faster My. Good afternoon, 5 o'clock on Wednesday the 15th of April. Thanks to Chris Quirk for the past couple of hours. I'm Christian Jones and welcome to Update. 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, a row over the Summerland site continues as MHK's a locked-in debate over why it shouldn't become a temporary car park or if that's just a missed opportunity. Inflation figures are in, showing a drop between February and March, and Isle of Pride is set to host an Olympic silver medalist. As always, drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. But first, as always, let's get the latest news headlines read by Siobhan Fletcher. Faster my, Siobhan.
Faster my. Former DOI Minister Dr. Michelle Haywood has critiqued a decision by the planning committee to reject an application which would have allowed temporary parking on the former Summerland site. Submitted by the department under her tenure, it was argued its approval would have benefited commuters, visitors using the horse trams and people frequenting local businesses. But the chair of the planning committee, Rob Callister, says the application wasn't sound. Government is forecast to have finished the 2025-26 financial year around £9.6 million under budget. New management accounts show that's largely due to stronger tax income, which came in at about £37.8 million higher than expected. Seven sailings from tomorrow until Saturday have been rescheduled due to insufficient water depths in Douglas Harbour. The steam packet company says it's made the changes due to ongoing dredging issues. And as Manx Utilities plans new electric vehicle charging points at the airport and sea terminal, the authority's chair says demand for them is growing. There are said to be over 850 regular EV users on the island, a number expected to increase year on year. Further afield, Sir Keir Starmer's vowed that he will not yield to pressure from Donald Trump over the Iran war. The US president suggested he could give the UK worse trade terms because of the Prime Minister's reluctance to get involved. Police are hunting two men suspected of throwing petrol bombs at a synagogue in North London. The number of prisoners being released in error from jails in England and Wales has fallen, but it's still happening nearly every other day. And the BBC is reportedly planning to dramatically slash its workforce. The PA news agency suggests around 1 in 10 jobs are likely to go. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Thank you very much for that, Siobhan Gurumayad. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Dry to start with, sunny spells, then an increased risk of a few showers later this evening, those showers then clearing overnight. Minimum temperature overnight of 7 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, though, dry for much of the day, bright or sunny spells, cloud then increasing towards the evening, and a few outbreaks of rain later. Top temperature of 13 degrees Celsius.
If you're looking for supply-only double or triple glazed units, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Stugbrough Trading Estate or call 674-573. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 4 minutes past five on Update. Well, earlier this week, an application which would have allowed temporary parking on the former Summerland site was rejected by the planning committee. It was submitted by the Department of Infrastructure under the tenure of the former minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood. It was argued its approval would have benefited commuters who could walk or cycle into work, visitors using the horse trams and people frequenting local business. Well, she told Siobhan Fletcher that whilst the department is still actively marketing the site, it should be used for the benefit of people that live nearby in the meantime.
There's a site sat there doing nothing. So I appreciate the comments from the chair of planning saying that this is not in line with planning policy, but it wasn't in line with planning policy last time. So maybe somebody needs to look at what the planning committee thought about it last time, because they did allow the site to be used as a temporary car park. But and I think, you know, just having planning permission for something doesn't mean that you're actually going to do it. So if you put planning permission on that site for, say, a temporary car park for 3 years and then it was due to expire, then, you know, if a developer came along halfway through, you could at that point decide, well, we're stopping parking now on this site. There's nothing that stops it. It's the department that owns the site and that governs what happens on it. So there's nothing that would stop that. So just because the site is being used isn't a block to it being sold for development. And let's face it, you know, the developer that comes along is going to have to deal with a number of specific challenges on that site, not least the cliff face, but also the plant room and the structures that were left under the ground. It's obviously a sensitive site as well, so all of those things are in train. But meanwhile, there is a plot of land that is sitting there that is doing nothing for Douglas residents, and it's doing nothing for visitors to the MER and that end of the promenade.
I suppose, do you find it frustrating to have been in the position you were in, trying to move these projects forward, and then, like you say, you've been out of the department now for a couple of months and seeing some of these things that, from what you're obviously saying, for you seem very common sense, sort of hitting these stumbling blocks then?
Yeah, it is frustrating. I'm a solutions focused person. So, you know, going and taking on all these different things and trying to get them moving and moving in the right direction is something that I was, you know, actively working on during my time as the minister. And then you're right, it's frustrating to see people railing back, taking their foot off the gas on things, trying to almost kind of not make a decision and not being brave enough to actually make a decision, take a position and just let things fall by the wayside.
Well, that's Dr. Michelle Hayward, the former infrastructure minister, speaking there. Well, the chair of the planning committee says he believes legislation around difficult brownfield sites on the island should be reviewed. This was Rob Callister speaking on Man in Line earlier today, where he claimed it went against several pieces of policy, but he says it may be time to relook at the restrictions.
I think some of the criteria around brownfield sites need to be reviewed, especially around what is considered affordable housing. There is a lot of lessons to be learned here. Two government departments should not be fighting publicly. I think it's wrong of the ex-DOI minister to come out and criticise planning when clearly the ex-minister should have known what the legislation said, what the regulation said, what the area plan said. And for me, at the heart of this is that no government department should ask another government department or board to ignore legislation or regulations. We have to act within the powers given to us by Tynwald, but more importantly, we should never act beyond the powers, because that then makes it ultra-virus, which then makes it unlawful, which exposes the decision to challenge, to criticism. You know, so to me, we have to uphold the law. That is what we're there for. In 2019, there was exceptional circumstances. What might have helped is if the department had actually come to the planning committee on Monday and explained the reasons why they felt that car park was needed so urgently. They didn't. They didn't turn up. So we had the officer's report, we did our own research, and we absolutely fully agreed with the offer on that occasion. I want to see Summerland developed, but I want a long-term solution. But I think some of the things around affordable housing, around open space, some of those criteria and regulation needs to be amended. I personally think 25% of affordable housing on difficult, contaminated or difficult buildings to take down and rebuild, I think they need to be reviewed. And I would certainly be in favour of lowering affordable housing on brownfield sites, but increasing it on greenfield sites.
Well, that's the chair of the planning committee, Rob Callister, speaking on Man in Line earlier today. Well, what are your thoughts? Should the Summerland site be used as a temporary car park, or should it not be? 166 177, studio@manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, inflation on the island has fallen slightly, with the latest figures showing the rate of price increases easing in March. Tessa Hawley joins me now. First to my Tessa. What is the main picture showing us?
So inflation now stands at 2.9%, which is down by 0.6% compared with February.
Just remind us quickly, what exactly does inflation measure?
So put simply, it tracks how much prices are rising over time, and that's across a typical basket of everyday spending. So things like food, housing costs, transport and leisure.
Where are we seeing the biggest increases at the moment then?
The sharpest rises over the past year are in restaurants and hotels, up 7.9%, largely driven by the cost of eating out. Food is also a key factor, up 4.9% overall, with some items rising much faster. Coffee, sweets, beef and cheese have all seen double-digit increases. Education costs have also gone up by 4.9%, with private school fees rising by around 9%, and alcohol and tobacco are up by 4.7%.
Okay, it's not all going up though, is it?
No, some prices have actually fallen, so fuel costs are down, with petrol and oil dropping by around 2%. Now, it is worth mentioning here that these figures won't be taking into account the global tensions that have arisen between the US and Iran, and we can probably expect these figures to be much higher come the next set of inflation statistics. We've also seen decreases in things like soft drinks, shop-bought beer and furniture, and overall miscellaneous goods, which includes items like personal care. They're all down by 0.8%.
Okay. If we look at the short-term picture, month to month, what can we see there?
Overall prices actually dipped slightly between February and March, down 0.3%. But within that, there are some big movements, particularly in transport, which saw a noticeable monthly increase.
Naturally, inflation isn't particularly a very sexy topic. Lots of figures, very easy to get caught up in the detail. What is the main takeaway for those at home?
So whilst inflation is easing overall, many everyday costs, especially food, eating out and education, are still rising faster than average. That means households may continue to feel pressure on their finances, particularly with the ongoing uncertainty around the fuel prices linked to those global tensions.
All right, Tessa, thank you very much for that. 11 minutes past five, the Isle of Man and Northern Ireland will continue to engage over recent issues regarding fishing in Manx waters. That's from the Agriculture Minister for Northern Ireland, who's been on the Isle of Man today for crucial talks with the Isle of Man government. We're speaking to Siobhan Fletcher straight after that meeting. Andrew Muir has branded the talks as constructive.
I really want to thank Chris Thomas, who's the Minister for the Treasury, and also Claire Barber, who's the Minister for Environment, Food and Agriculture, for the meeting today. And it was extremely constructive, and the time that they gave both to me and my officials is really appreciated. We have a lot of common challenges, both in the Isle of Man and Northern Ireland, in relation to fishing and the environment. So it was good to be able to share the good experiences and the research that have been undertaken, but also to explore the issue which we've encountered most recently, which is with regards to access to Isle of Man waters and visa requirements. And it was good to get clarity on that issue, and we've agreed to continue the engagement in terms of any potential solutions.
It sounds like you haven't sort of walked out of this meeting with a concrete solution to the problem right now, but do you feel like those avenues are open for the future?
I think there's a road towards a solution on this. What we want to do is continue engagement on this, but also engage with the fishing industry in Northern Ireland further to this meeting. But also we want to actually share a lot more knowledge and understanding around the broader issue in terms of fishing. There's real common challenges. There's good work being done by the Isle of Man, but also ourselves. So we've agreed to redouble our efforts in terms of working more closely together as well. So there's been a positive engagement, and we're going to continue to work together on these issues.
That's the Agriculture Minister for Northern Ireland, Andrew Muir. And of course, we will be hearing more from him and the Treasury Minister of the Isle of Man, Chris Thomas, in the coming days. Now, earlier this week, Manx Utilities announced plans for a number of new electric vehicle charging points on the island. A new ultra-rapid charger is going to be installed at the sea terminal this summer, bringing the total number of EV charging points there to four. Meanwhile, a planning application's been approved to put another three high-speed facilities at Ronaldsway Airport. Well, do we need them? Is the demand really that high? Lewis Foster has been speaking to the Manx Utilities chair. He's also the Douglas North MHK, John Wannenberg.
Well, we need them for two reasons. The market is growing. There's more and more EVs coming online. There's almost 2,000 at the moment. And if you look at that from a starting point in early 2018 of just 79, that is a significant growth. And we need to evolve our network to cope with that. And secondly, the two places which we are talking about at the moment are the airport and the seaport, and they are both gateways to the island, and visitors alike, as well as our residents, need an enhanced network, and it is absolutely the right thing to do.
You've said there are around 1,800 or more EVs registered on the island, 135 public charging points here, including eight rapid chargers. What has the demand been like? Have you heard a lot of calls from those EV owners saying we need more on the island?
Yes, we do get that, but not more, but we need them in different places, such as the airport. And when people do hire the cars, for instance, it's an expectation. So we need to enhance our capability of the infrastructure.
We understand the MUA is, of course, trying to improve the network of charging points on the island. This step that we've heard about this week, have you got further plans down the line? What can we expect next?
Well, you may recall the Promenade Refurbishment Scheme. I mean, during the works, there was a significant amount of capacity put underneath the tarmac. So in the future, we have the capability of creating far more along the promenade if required. But again, you know, it's not just putting them up. We do monitor all the time the ones which are already there as to how much they are producing and how well they are used. So it's an ongoing situation and it's always going to evolve.
That's the Douglas North MHK and Chair of Manx Utilities, John Wannenberg there. Also, this morning we saw someone on socials asking what happens if a non-EV parks in an EV space. So we asked. The response we got back was, ultimately, it is illegal for non-EV cars to park in EV-designated spaces other than the obvious exemptions for emergency services. Let's take a look at the travel now.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Okay, we'll start on the roads to begin with. We do have an update about the mountain road, and we're being told extended periods of at times torrential rain on the mountain has disrupted resurfacing work, so the mountain will now not reopen on Friday afternoon as previously expected. If conditions allow, the remaining resurfacing will be completed by Friday with the new curing overnight lining on Saturday morning, aiming to reopen on Saturday afternoon. We're being told to be aware that this new time frame is very much weather dependent, and it's only possible that the completion of works may be delayed further if the weather is not conducive. Another update is expected to be issued on Friday, so that position will be a little bit clearer. That's from Highway Services. Temporary lights in Cueg, the bottom of Cueg Hill near the railway bridge for sewer works. In Braddon, temporary lights on Braddon Road, that's just up from Braddon Bridge, of course. In Peel, there are temporary lights on the promenade near Crown Street 24 hours a day for work on the pumping station. And over in Castletown, there are temporary lights on the on Douglas Road between King William's College and the airport 24 hours a day for water main works. Down at the steam packet, no issues that I'm seeing there, so we'll have a quick look on the arrivals and the departures board at the airport. Everything is green and blue, so everything is running to time. Of course, if there is anything that I've missed that you want to let me know about, 166 177, studio at manxradio.com.
Out of fuel, you stop. Out of brakes, you don't. Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Get more with Quayside, Quayside, 664417.
Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside. The Saturday Sandwich.
Join Kiri and Clarke every Saturday morning for some great music and a little bit of light entertainment. Well, sometimes I go out by myself.
Why, have you got some sort of fear?
That's today's likeable lyric. We like to try and give you some advice to keep you fit and healthy. Are you all right there?
I've got a frog in my swallowing? Throat. Well, I got a cold.
We need to get you out and about and get some fresh air. You could always attempt to climb Mount Everest or something. 86% of the people who've climbed Everest are men and only 13% women.
Get out of here. Women are always moving mountains. So join us at 10 every Saturday for the Saturday Sandwich here on Manx Radio.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, it's approaching 19 minutes past five, and the Douglas RNLI could soon have a new home, at least for the next 7 years. A planning application's been submitted to convert the former yacht Chandler's on the Tongue into a temporary base for the lifeboat crew. If approved, the move would provide a much-needed facility while a permanent solution is found. The lifeboat operations manager, Alan Corlett, says it's an answer to their prayers.
In Douglas now, we've been in containers here in the battery yard, the battery pier yard, for 8 years now. So it'll actually provide much more comfortable accommodation than we've got at the moment.
And there may be other calls upon this yard in due course. We don't know, but there may be.
Yes, in terms of there may be there may be other calls on a lot of the harbour area, I think, not just the battery pier yard.
Of course, you're some way from the lifeboat, which is kept over there by the ramp. Mm-hmm. You're going to swap this distance from the lifeboat to a distance in the other direction from the lifeboat. There's still that problem.
Yes, it is a problem, but it's not an insurmountable problem. We have a vehicle that the crew can use to get there, and we have to get in through the security area, of course. But even then, the liner berth is only a temporary solution as well, because we can't operate a 24/7 service from there. That berth is untenable in winds which have a lot of east or north in. So in those circumstances, we have to move the boat into the marina, from which we cannot operate a rescue service. So there will have to be another solution for a berth as well at some stage. We have been told that we will be getting one of the new coastal lifeboats here in Douglas. Now, that's not been developed yet. I'm privileged to be part of the team actually developing that. It'll be an off-the-shelf hull from an existing manufacturer. It'll be a boat that's capable of rescuing 10 miles offshore in extreme weather conditions. We'll carry a crew of four, be powered with twin engines, capable of 35 knots. So this will be, in many respects, the future of lifeboating in the RLI.
It won't be slipway.
No.
Do you need that building out there anymore?
The old boathouse with the slipway? No, we don't. Well, that's gone now. We're out of it completely. We haven't used it since 2018. It had asbestos problems. It's fallen to bits, basically. And the slipway in particular has become extremely expensive to maintain. So no. In general, throughout the RLI, slipway boats will become a thing of the past eventually.
Will big, fast ribs be the future?
A lot of the future. For most stations, yes, they will.
Lifeboat operations manager Alan Corlett speaking to John there. Now, an Olympic silver medalist is heading to the island to share his experience as an openly gay athlete in elite sport. Double world champion curler Bruce Mowat is the guest of honour at a special event hosted by Isle of Pride. He'll be discussing the importance of representation and diversity at the highest levels of competition. The director, James Cherry, has been telling Amy Griffiths why Bruce's story is so important.
There's always been a rise in curling after each Winter Olympics. We're in 22 and now 26. British curling's seen a massive increase in participation. And with Bruce being one of only a handful of elite male athletes that's openly gay, I thought it was a great opportunity to get him over, to have a chat and share his experiences in sport and his life.
Because what impact does it have having that visibility of somebody who is openly gay on an international platform?
It does so many things. I mean, when you see Bruce competing, he does his job. You don't see that he is gay. BBC Sport did sections on social media and VTs on TV about his story about coming out. And Bruce now sees himself as a role model to the community. So it's great to see that, and that just because of your sexuality doesn't stop you doing things at all, and you can go as high as you want. There should be no boundaries because of your sexuality, your race, your gender, whatever. If you can do something, go and do it, you know. And if you can get higher, you know, and go and represent your country in the world or whatever, nothing should stop you from doing that. And I think this is a great example of that for our community in the LGBTQ community. And I say it's a great opportunity to have him over and have a chat with him. So the event, I say, is on the 26th of July, Sunday evening, in the Gaiety Theatre.
And what can people expect if they come along?
So the first half is, at the moment, it's going to be myself and him having a chat, going through everything, so his life, sport and achievements. Second half will be a little bit more chat, but then we will do questions from the audience. So people will be able to submit questions throughout the evening. We'll have a bucket out the front where you can write your question down on the card, put it in the bucket, and then in the second half be randomly selected. And Bruce will be able to answer the question. So there'll be opportunities to have pictures as well. I'll hopefully get Bruce to bring his Olympic medals as well so people can see them and get pictures with them as well.
That's Isle of Pride Director James Cherry speaking with Amy Griffiths. Just to reiterate, Sunday the 26th of July at the Gaiety, double world champion curler Bruce Mowat as the special guest of honour. Okay, right, a fundraising campaign's been launched to help Isle of Man boxer Jade Burden still achieve her dream of a title fight in the sport. It comes after the Grenade-scheduled showdown with Katie Smith for the Silver Commonwealth Super Featherweight title That is not easy to say, I'll be honest. In the UK, last weekend was called off at short notice. With more details, here's Rob Pritchard.
Having been due to face Smith at Portsmouth Guildhall on Saturday the 11th of April, Burden's bout was cancelled just under 72 hours before it was due to take place. The fighter herself said this was due to what she called bad health news for the promoter, and, as a result, the promoter had chosen to cancel the entire evening. After receiving the news, Burden took to social media to say she was absolutely heartbroken at the situation, adding, "This isn't just a hobby for me, this is my livelihood." Now, Jade's sister has set up a fundraising initiative to try and assist Burden in making sure the fight can still take place at a later date, with the aim of generating £6,000. Steph Weir says the money would go directly towards paying her opponent and covering the sanctioning fees for the Silver Commonwealth title. She adds that Jade has poured everything into boxing physically, mentally, emotionally and financially, and that it's hoped the funds could allow the fight to go ahead independently. As of this afternoon, more than £3,100 has been raised so far.
Rob Pritchard with that report. Sport up next.
Think back to the best nights of your life. Chances are these were the songs that were playing. And maybe you got a bit too heavy on the jupe or the cool water while ironing your favourite shirt. From 90s dance anthems to the big club sounds of the noughties, this is the music that takes you right back to the dance floor. We'll also be going in the mix for the final 20 minutes of the show. So if you're getting ready to head out or just soaking up the memories, join me, Chris Quirk, and make Floor Fillers the soundtrack to your Saturday night from 8 on your nation station, Manx Radio. Perfection.
Thank you, Chris Quirk. Right, let's turn our attention to the latest sports brought to you by the Print Shed. We can say Fastamai to Rob Pritchard. Fastamai, what's the latest?
Fastamai, well, first off, in football, Peel have moved level with Corinthians at the top of the Canada Life Men's Premier League following the latest midweek Manx football action last night. The Western side claimed a comfortable 6-1 home win over Ramsey, whilst Corinthians were held to a 3-3 draw by St Mary's. It now means both Corinthians and Peel are locked together at the summit on 53 points, with the former ahead on goal difference, but the latter still with two games in hand. Elsewhere, Colby's lead at the top of Ardern and Drugg Unlimited Division 2 has now extended to 16 points after they secured a commanding 9-0 victory at Governors Athletic. Meanwhile, football continues this evening with 10 games across the combination leagues, with matches starting from 6:15 p.m. and you can view a full list of last night's results and tonight's fixtures at manxradio.com. Elsewhere in football, FC Isle of Man suffered a 3-0 defeat away at Barnoldswick Town in their penultimate match of the NWCFL Premier Division season last night. Both sides created chances in a closely fought first half before a free kick from Bruno Cannavale gave the home side the lead with an hour gone. Barnoldswick sealed the win inside the final 10 minutes, with Gareth Hill scoring twice in quick succession in the 82nd and 84th minute to clinch all 3 points. The Ravens are in action for the final time this season, this coming Saturday when they travel to Padiham. Moving on, and an Isle of Man swimmer has broken a Manx record that had previously stood for over a decade. Competing at the Aquatics GB Swimming Championships in London yesterday, Ireland competitor Ella Justice set a time of 57.36 seconds in the women's long course 100-metre freestyle heats. That time eclipses the previous best over that distance, which was set by Charlotte Atkinson 13 years ago. And in boxing, Isle of Man pro fighter Jamie Devine has confirmed a date for his latest return to the ring, it seems. The Ireland-born competitor, who's based in Liverpool, has told followers to save the date for the 20th of June, adding, "Big fight announcement pending." No further details have been released at this time. Well, since turning professional in 2024, Devine remains unbeaten at that level, with 11 wins from all 11 fights.
Guramide, thank you very much for that, Rob. Well, that is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Stick around, Howard Kane is up next with Spotlight, Chris Kinley's greatest hits after that. Andy Wind back in the hot seat with Country Roads from 9 and then Dave Moore with After Hours from 10 o'clock. I'll catch up with you tomorrow, same time, so until then, take care, bye-bye for now.